come to you today. This is not my words, this is God's words. He wants to touch your heart and touch your life. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Don't you love the Lord? Well, today there's a new individual that's shouting the streets of glory. And we envy him. We had his service at the National Cemetery. Brother Sean had his service at the National Cemetery Friday. We were having a memorial service for him. I believe it was the 22nd here at the church. And we'll be giving you the times a little later on. But hold Sister Karen and Maddie up in prayer and the family. And ask God to just bless them and comfort them. Though we miss him here, he's enjoying the presence of the Lord. Amen. So in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to preach to you on the thought this morning, returning to the wells of Bethlehem. Returning to the wells of Bethlehem, figuratively speaking. Keep your ears, your eyes, your heart open to receive what God has for you today. Look at your neighbor, point at him and say, God's got something for you today. Verse 13 in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the wells of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. I want to read that again. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the wells of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and they took it, brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink of it. These things did these three mighty men. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Perhaps if we've read this story before, or as you maybe have heard it for perhaps the first time, you would be thinking that his mighty men risked their necks to get him a drink from Bethlehem, which was being occupied by the Philistines, and when they brought it to him, after succeeding, he poured it out on the ground. Most of us would think that he was being very obnoxious and rude for them to go to such lengths to bring him the water of Bethlehem, and then he poured it out on the ground. And perhaps as you're thinking and meditating on that, I've got some things that I want to share with you today. And there was a lot more to it than that, but David, in that 15th verse, it says, And David longed for that water from the wells of Bethlehem. And perhaps today, as we worship the Lord here, I kind of looked over the congregation, and there was a lot of people praising and worshiping the Lord, and there was some that was just kind of sitting and observing, and there was others that just only pushed in so far, but they wasn't really getting into the depths. They didn't take the dipper down to the wells of Bethlehem, and they were just kind of struggling sometimes. And I believe what David was saying, and said, I'm longing for how things used to be. I don't know how long you've been in church, don't know how long you've been in Pentecost, but there's times that I look around me and I think, oh dear Lord, I wish things were like they used to be. When people, you could just say amen, and people would fill the altars and cry out to God in recognition of His love and His goodness and His grace and His mercy and what He's done for us. I just come by to tell you today, church, that there's still a God in heaven above, and His Son is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for you, but He gave His life for you. He spilled His blood, every bit of it, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's a story that is recorded in two different books. The story of the wells of Bethlehem that I'm talking about, it is recorded in 1 Chronicles and also in 2 Samuel. And there is a lot more to it than just meets the eye. And what seems to be disrespectful and ungrateful in pouring the water on the ground that his three men risked their lives to obtain is so much deeper than the wells of Bethlehem themselves. So please bear with me for just a little bit. And listen to what I've got to say. It was God poured into my heart. There are two epic poems that are attributed to a man by the name of Homer, who wrote these during the time of the Trojan War. And they're not spiritual, biblical. They're not a part of the Bible. I'm just telling you that this part of history, and there's a lot of other stuff that goes on with it. But Homer wrote two different books, and it was during the time of the Trojan War. One of them is named Odyssey. And the other is named Ladid. I believe is how you pronounce it, but whatever, it doesn't make any difference. But they are the two oldest works in Western literature. And I'm telling you these things for a purpose, so don't run off in your mind. His story is filled with the acts of pouring wine or other liquids on the ground, insomuch that the ground is saturated. And they've done that in honor of their God, little g or little G-O-D-S. And which, in that particular time, that was very common in Greek and in Rome and the Middle Eastern culture. The Bible also mentions a drink offering. In reality, the Bible, God Himself mentions a drink offering. What seems very odd and misunderstood in our society was very much a part of positioning themselves in honoring their gods and remembering and honoring the part that God gave them and blessed them with, even in the Bible, in biblical times. Perhaps in the context of David's story, we fail to see his ideology and the pouring out of the water at the three of his best men. These three of his best men that risked their necks to get the water for David because he longed for them. His desire for the water of Bethlehem was beyond his comprehension. It would be one thing if David, the king, received the water from his men that had run down to their local Walmart store or Harps and got the bottle of water and brought to him. It would be different if he poured it out, if they just got it from one of those stores. It would be different if they brought him a glass of water and didn't even put ice in it. Come on, somebody. Preach with me. Wouldn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm from Arkansas. And when I drink water and I drink tea, I want ice in it. And they didn't even bother to put ice in it for David. One would think, no wonder he poured it out. They didn't even put ice in it. And nevertheless. But for these guys to fight their way through the camp of the Philistines and collect a little water for the king, that he desperately wanted some water from home. Holy Ghost, speak to our hearts right now. I don't know about you, but we've come a long way from where we used to be. Our world, our society, even Pentecost, we've come a long way from where we used to be. David desperately wanted some water from home, and then he poured it out. Maybe more than a dedicated and a loyal soldier could take. As they give him that water, let me just pause for a moment to share with you. As he poured it out, perhaps those three men that was dedicated, they was loyal to David. Maybe as they seen him pour that water out on the ground, it might have been just a little bit more than the dedicated loyal soldiers could take. But we do not find one place in the Scriptures to where those three men questioned David or his ability or his desire or his motives or actions of pouring that water out. You got to know the rest of the story. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 verse 13 tells us a little bit more about the situation, about the circumstance. You have to understand, if you'll read the rest of the chapter prior to that, these men plus the 30 men, 27 men of David had been fighting with everything that was in them to destroy the Philistines. And verse 13 of 1 Chronicles chapter 11 said, and it was David, and he was with David in this particular place where David had long before slain Goliath. Years before he had slain Goliath. And now we see that they're in a battle in the same area. And the Philistines were gathered to battle in the plot of ground that was full of barley and lentils. I just want to tell you and help you to understand that it's not only the water that's at stake. We find that the Word of God tells us that there's life-giving water that comes from heaven above. There is food, there's meat to eat that we know not of. In this passage of Scripture, there's more going on than what we really see. There's water that's life-giving that has to be for the substance of life. There's food, and they're fighting in the middle of this lentil fields or these bean fields and this barley fields. They're fighting there. Can I tell you, church, there's some of you right now that is facing the enemy. He's trying to plug up your wells. He's trying to stop you from getting any nourishment. He's trying to kill every bit of the food that God wants to give you. Even this morning, some of you are sitting here and your mind's in 100 different places. But God's got food to eat that you know not of. The enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's got water to drink from the wells of Bethlehem that will fresh you and touch you. But you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to fight all the way. I just come by to tell you today that this is a fight for life. It's not 60 minutes on a court or four quarters on a field. It's a fight for life. It's not a game of nine innings and you're over, but it's a fight for life. These men was loyal. They knew their responsibility, and they stood for what David stood for, and that was for God. David said, I long for the waters of Bethlehem. There's something more that I've got to have. The thing that David did leads us to misunderstand his motives and his actions until we see the full value and the reasons of why he did it. Some of you are asking right now, well, why in the world did he do it? Let's look at three things in the process of figuring out why David done it. And the first thing that I want us to focus on is the water itself. Our modern society, and I want our young people to listen. How many loves heroes? You got to have a hero in your life. But just a minute. Do you like heroes? Huh? Everybody, you know, even as old as Brother Ronnie and I are, we like heroes. Someone to look up to. I grant you there was a time in his life and my life that we put a cape on and played like Superman. And there probably was nobody like us. Nobody. But I want to talk to you today that there was some supermen in this passage of Scripture that beats all you ever seen. And I just want you to know that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. These men didn't do it on their own accord, their own account, their own strength. It was God that created within them the ability to do what they could do. So the first thing that I want us to look at in this collage of stories here is the water. Our modern society often takes our water for granted. We don't think much about it. We hate to leave the water hose on in the summertime and let it run all night long, but it's really no big deal. We as Americans are known for being somewhat wasteful. And even a glass of water poured on the ground in this day and time might not be thought much about, but it would still be considered wasteful. The people in the Middle East valued water. It was very precious. It was a very precious commodity. They did not have a Harps or a Walmart to buy their water at. They struggled to dig wells. They struggled to find places to dig wells that had water. It was a very precious commodity. And understand that it was a lot harder to come by then and than what we know it is today. When the Philistines stopped up the wells of Abraham that had been dug by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was literally an act of war. Hear me this morning, church. Hear me, child of God. The enemy is trying to stop up the well in your life. The enemy is trying to destroy you. I don't know if you realize it or not, but it is an act of war. He's trying to kill you, stuff you out, and destroy you because you don't have the strength from Almighty God, the water, the living water that you need. It is an act of war. David understood that the liquid that he held in his hands, when his men brought it to him, he understood that the liquid he held in his hand was much more precious than just the mere water. He even valued it in the Word of God. He valued it in the terms of the best blood of his army. That they risked their lives. It could have been their blood that was poured out on the ground. But now they brought him the water. Looking back over the Scriptures, we don't see any record of those men objecting to what they saw David do. They understood it as honor. They understood it as honor of having the king pour out the water on the ground as a drink offering unto the Lord. He respected them. David respected his three men. He respected God. It was God that gave them the victory. It was God that gave them the power. It was God that allowed them to have breath to breathe. And he not only just poured it on the ground, that wasn't the point, but he sacrificed it unto the Lord. He sacrificed it unto the Lord. Although perhaps we cannot understand it, it's not in our ability to perceive. There's no greater honor among men and God for David to free willingly pour the water upon the ground as an offering of gratitude and honor to the Most High God. For it was God Himself that made it all possible, that He alone was truly worthy of the priceless cup of water. It was the priceless cup of water. David was saying, I just wish things was like they used to be. I just wish the presence and the power of God could fall like it once did. I just wished I was back home in Bethlehem enjoying the great things that God has given us. I just wish, desire. It's an overwhelming desire. I wish that things was like they once was. I'm totally convinced that David, after all the fighting, defending his country, I am convinced, this is where some of you are right now, he was tired. He was weary. He had gone as far as he could go. Bible tells us that he was in a cave. He was in a place of shelter and safety. He had been dug in into a foxhole. His thoughts were no doubt on the past. His mind was on the past. Bethlehem was a very special place for him and his men. I'm sure he longed to be back home, and the memories of drinking that sweet, cool water from the familiar spot of the gates of Bethlehem was overwhelming his desire. Church, I just come by to tell you today, some of you have tasted and you know what the mercy and the grace of God is in an overwhelming fashion. And it's been years since you felt that overwhelmingness of God's Spirit and power come on top of you and come over you. You couldn't control the tears. You couldn't control your hands. You just wanted to give God praise and give Him glory. The overwhelming desire. You don't see that like you used to. And this pastor desires to see that. Have you ever had a thought and a desire Have you ever had a thought and a desire, a longing to have something that you used to have? Have you ever had a desire? Have you ever had a thought of something you long for, something that you used to have? Have you ever had your mind so flooded on the past of what you could almost smell grandma's apple pie? You could almost smell the roast cooking in the oven. You could almost smell the pork chops frying on the stove. You were so overwhelmed and you forgot what it was about. But you longed for it. You longed for it. You were so overwhelmed by the desire or hunger that you literally could feel it in the air, smell it in the air, taste it, because you had such a longing for it. When was the last time you had that kind of desire, that kind of longing, that kind of hunger for God? Have you gotten to a place you become so hungry for God, you long for what you used to feel, that your spiritual man begin to yearn and see the power of God? You begin to seek for the power of God, desire the powerful of God, of that experience that you used to have. Can I tell you that there is a place you can receive what God has? He has not changed. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His Word tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask God what we have time, what we have need of, and He will restore what the enemy has taken and stolen. You know why? Because God is faithful. Let's look for just a few minutes on David's mighty men. You must understand that these men of David's were dedicated, committed, loyal to the cause. There were 30 of them, but 3 stood out among the 30 and did extraordinary feats. They done extraordinary feats. This is what I'm talking about a while ago. Their accomplishments was what nobody else did. Listen to me, young person. God loves you enough, He'll give you the same extra spiritual power to put the devil to flight. The Philistines represented Satan and all of his imps. Hello? In the biblical times, the Philistines represent Satan and all of his imps. He needs some mighty men today that is willing to pick up the sword spiritually and say, God, here I am. I will be dedicated, I will be committed, and I will be loyal to the cause, because there is a cause. There is a generation that desperately needs to get a hold of God. Can somebody say amen? Can I tell you, church, you talk about superheroes that I talked to you about a while ago. These guys was among the elite. They never wore a cape like Member of the Ronnie. They never flew like a plane or a bird. They never had to worry about kryptonite. Nor did they have to look for a phone booth to change clothes. But they was a force to be reckoned with. Well, I wish somebody just preached with me for a little bit this morning. I said, but they was a force to be reckoned with. They understood their responsibility, being where they was supposed to be at the appointed time, and wouldn't allow anything or anyone to distract them. David had 30 men that was of this capacity, but he had 3 that stood out among those 30. Adino, I believe is how you pronounce his name. If you want to correct me, you can correct me later. Or we'll just call him Alfred, whatever you want to call him. Nevertheless, in the records of heaven, he was a man that stood his ground and by himself at one particular time killed 800 Philistines. Huh? Superman would be wore out by the time he done that feat. And these guys was still saying, I've got more. A man, one of the other guys by the name of Eliezer, fought by himself so long that he couldn't turn loose of the sword. How many has ever held something so long that it was hard to turn it loose? You had to almost pry your fingers off of it. This guy had fought the Philistines so long by himself, he was not going to give up. He was not going to give in. we talk about Greek mythology and all of their heroes. They wasn't nothing compared, because this is real story. It's not mythology. It's God's Word. And these men, and to say, the Bible's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. He's not going to ask you to kill a Philistine. But He will ask you to kill the devil. Shammah, a brave soldier, was standing in the midst of a field of beans and barley when the Philistines come up over the ridge, and all the other children of Israel was scared out of their wits, and they turned around and run home. And Shammah grabbed his sword and he protected what was his. Lord God Almighty, help us to understand that God has given us certain things and we need to learn to protect what they are. I said, we need to learn to protect what they are. And Shammah protected the field. He protected the food. They had to have nourishment. And he protected them. And he killed all the Philistines that was around while the rest of them was hiding behind the trees and the bushes. I'm telling you, God's looking for some supermen and supergirls. It was these men that no doubt seen the example and how David showed the villain fight that he had with Goliath and the others. But now we find David in a cave, retreating for some rest and some refreshment. And remember what he used to have. Longing for those things that now only fill the memories. I'm here to tell you, we have in our minds went way too long with just thinking about what we used to have when it's still available for you and I today. David stopped to catch his breath so he could once again do it all over. I just come to remind you, it's not the one who starts first. It's not the one who runs the fastest. It's not even the one who kills the most giants. But it's the one who stays faithful to the end. The one who realizes there's a fight that has to be waged. But it's one that the endurance to the end will see the ultimate victory. And for those, the victory is going to be awesomely sweet. David recognized the efforts and the risks that these men had taken in the past. Now his bravest and mightiest men had just broke through the garrison, just broke through the line to get a drink of water from him, from a familiar place to satisfy his longing. Most people place a high value or a price on life itself. And David recognized it just the same. He equated the water that the warriors brought back as a fact that it could have been their blood that had been spilt on the ground. And they risked their lives for the king. All the more reason for us to be upset at what David had done until we understand the whole picture. David's act was not disrespectful to his men, but a gift of thanksgiving to God and giving God the praise. They took the risk. They brought back the water. But God, I offer it to you in completion. Well, it still don't make a lot of sense. Well, hang on, I ain't through yet. The drink offering, the value of a drink offering to God can only be understood in the terms of who God is and what the drink offering represents. If we doubt God's existence, then giving anything to Him would seem relatively silly. If God is distant, uncaring, and is not attentive to our needs, then He would not be worthy of such an offering. Even our hands lifted to Him. But if we know, I said, if we know, how many knows that God is real? But if we know how great, how loving, how powerful our Heavenly Father is, then we will gladly pour out our very lives for Him. Then we will gladly pour out of our daily lives for Him It's more than just a cup of water. It's more than just a ritual. But it's a desire in our hearts, and it's knowing that my God is real. We sang that song, or used to sing it, "My God is real. He's real in my soul." Now when we sing it, we can see a distance in our eyes because we haven't experienced it in so long. But I'm here to tell you, God's here. All we have to do is reach out to Him for the taking. It's more than a cup of water. When we know that He is real, we know that our God is real, the very act of offering anything to God, even the cup of water that David poured out, is a distinct act of worship to God. I so much appreciated the Sunday school class lesson that we got into. Chris was talking about the importance of worship. Our key factor in our lives of worship is our posture toward Him. If we don't have a deep, intimate relationship with Him, our worship is not going to be deep and intimate. If our relationship is distant, our worship will be distant. The very act of offering anything to God is a distinct act of worship. We talk about pouring out. The very first miracle that Jesus performed was He poured out water to accommodate His guest. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody can at least grunt, okay? All I need is a grunt, and I'll go ahead and finish my message, okay? The first miracle, Jesus had to pour out. We find Mary pouring out the fragrance from the alabaster box to wash the feet of Jesus. She poured out. Paul, in a figuratively yet relative sense, when he gave of himself, being poured out for the cause of Christ. Being poured out. "I give you my all. You give me everything. Surely I can give you just what I've got." Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, "But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all." Speaking to the church there at Philippi. If I being poured out like a drink offering, if these men of God in the New Testament recognized and realized the drink offering, can I tell you, we need to pour ourselves out unto God. We know that Jesus Himself poured Himself out to a lost and a dying world without any knowledge that anybody was going to receive Him, and yet He poured out every last drop of blood He had. Perhaps these three guys that went to break through the Philistines, he got some water at Bethlehem. Perhaps after what David had done, perhaps they would have looked at each other, and this is me, saying, "I wish we'd have got a glass of water to do the same thing. I wish we'd have brought back another canteen so we could have done the same thing." I wonder today, what's it going to take for the church of the living God to recognize that God's more important than anything in this whole wide world? That God is respectful of all of our praise, and He is worthy of all of our praise. I sometimes wonder, we preach with everything that we've got, not me, Brother Hewitt, Brother Aaron, different ones, Sister Kelly, we preach, and sometimes it's like pulling hen's teeth to get anyone to come to the altar. Anybody seen any hen's teeth lately? I mean, it's like pulling hen's teeth to get anybody to come to the altar. You say, how many wants to be closer to God? And you get a half-mass raise of your hand. But how many understands and realize that God's not
out there somewhere wandering around the universe, but He has the capability of living inside your heart and life. And if it was not for Him, the next breath that you take wouldn't be possible. David was wanting to buy a piece of ground. Because he was the king of Israel, the man that owned the piece of ground said, "You just have it. You can just have it. I don't want any money for it." And David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, "Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth not cost me nothing." I told you a while ago, it's not a nine-inning game, this life is. It's not four quarters on the football field, but it's for life. Every breath that you breathe, every step that you take, it's going to be a fight. Hello? That old song, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation hall. It's a fight and it's not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. How many remembers that old song? David's whole motive was to recognize that God was greater than all things. It was God that deserved all praise. For David to accept something for nothing was beyond David's ability, because he recognized that there was something deep in his heart that honored and recognized God as the complete and only source. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, given God all. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Looking at it from this perspective, Christian, can we go ahead and come to the piano? I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you to view of all the mercies of God to make a decision, dedicating your bodies and presenting every member and every part of your faculty as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. David's three men, his mightiest and qualified men, went to the well out of love and allegiance to their king. David recognized the sacrifice was one made of love, and he no longer wanted to selfishly in his thinking, but realize the significance of the moment. Can we just recognize the significance of the moment? Not to drink the water, but to merely if David had drunk, think about this for just a moment. Now I'm closing. If David had drank the water and merely expelled it as waste later, but instead he chose to pour the water out as a sacrificial drink upon the ground as an act of worship to God, his behavior in that act would ultimately bless David and his men in a time of war. What David did in response to what was done for him showed his love for God and the men that he served. Would you stand all over the building today? I just ask you, there's life-giving water. There's life-giving water. David said in one place in the Scriptures, "I look to the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Bethlehem was a hill country. Bethlehem was a very fertile place. Bethlehem was where Jesus was born. Bethlehem was considered the house of bread. Bethlehem was considered the city of David. And he gave God all the praise and all the glory. Heavenly Father, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Lord God, we come to you right now, recognizing and understanding and knowing, Lord, that you are our source in every situation and every aspect. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior, one that has not accepted you as the Lord of their life, I pray right now that the Holy Ghost will visit them and will meet them where they're at. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Is there someone that you would raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I need to know Jesus Christ. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to finish this life and not have the blood of Jesus applied to my life." Is there one? Slip your hand up, right back down. See no hands raised. How many would raise your hand?
between you and God, say, God, I want more of you. I want an intimate relationship with you more than ever before. Can you just lift both hands up and say, God, here I am. I'm a vessel. Needs to be emptied so you can fill it up all the way. And I give you my everything and I give you my all. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you'll hear the cry and you'll hear the intentional prayer of your people. Lord, let your spirit, your power, and your anointing come down in this place and touch the hearts and lives of your people. Minister and touch, Lord, we pray. God, we look to you in all things, Lord, knowing that you are our source, you are our strength, you are our high tower. Father God, we love you, we appreciate you, we worship you, Lord. Father, we love and appreciate you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Pray, God, that you will bless them, keep them safe. Bring them back at the appointed time, Lord, with faith and victory. And let our hearts, oh God, be stirred. Looking to you, Lord, knowing you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.